Well, we're almost to the finish line. Tuesday is voting day, November 6th. And I know many people have already, I mean, this is already a done deal for a lot of people that voted absentee or early voting. Tim, have you voted yet? You have voted. Oh, awesome. So, you know, you see these polls, and Romney's been ahead in a lot of them. But then now I'm seeing on Drudge, they have Rasmussen has it neck and neck, tied. And I really, you got to wonder, I mean, how close is it going to be? I don't think it's going to be close at all, quite honestly. If you want my opinion, well, regardless if you want it or not, I'm going to give it to you. I think Romney's going to win big. I think he's going to win by probably 5 to 7 points. I think he's going to win a lot of states that the so-called swing states, a lot of states that maybe the media is not expecting him to win. Certainly Obama's got California, New York, places like that. But a lot of these, Ohio, Wisconsin, Iowa, I think those are going to be shockers. And I think the media will be in mourning come November 6th. I think they're going to be shocked because their cult of personality president does not have the support that he did in 2008, very simply. And, you know, this past week, oh, by the way, this whole love fest with him and Christie in New Jersey, what's that about? Chris Christie just, I hate to say this, but he just seems to disappoint me more and more. I love how he was tough on the teachers union in New Jersey, but he just, more and more, it seems to me, he's just a Teddy Roosevelt Republican. He's just a progressive. And this whole thing with him and Obama and, you know, praising Obama for the relief efforts and the federal government giving him everything he needs in New Jersey, why not just say, you know, when you're asked the question, yeah, you know, the federal government is working with us, we're getting everything we need, everything is copacetic. Why does he have to go on and praise Obama about how great, oh, you know, he's just, you know, I mean, this whole kiss and hug fest is just too much. And this is from the guy who supposedly he's endorsed Romney. He was out campaigning for him. And now 4 days before the election, he's out there telling everybody how great Obama is and how he's, oh, yeah, everything's running up to speed. Yeah, well, they've cleared out all the red tape and the bureaucracy. They've cleared out all the red tape and the bureaucracy, but yet they're not letting non-union electric companies into New Jersey to help with relief. There were relief crews from Decatur and Huntsville, Alabama, that were turned away. Some of them went back to Alabama. Some just went on to New York, to Long Island, because they were turned away because they were non-union. And I find that appalling. You have people that, millions of people, all over New England and the Northeast, specifically in New York and New Jersey, the hardest hit areas, that need drinking water and food. A lot of them don't have power. They haven't had power. And you have relief crews being turned away because they're non-union. I mean, it's pathetic. It's more than pathetic. It's sad, really. It really is. But just to point out, this is just another perfect example of why government fails. In a time of crisis, when you've had this major storm, and by the way, it really wasn't even that big of a storm. If you look at Category 1, look at all the damage that happened just from a Category 1. Can you imagine if it was a Cat 5, like what hit, in Louisiana? I mean, there'd be, as it is, it looks like a Cat 3 or higher hit the coast of New Jersey. But you have all this devastation. You have people that are at it. They don't have power. People that, you know, in New York, I don't even think they have full electricity back to the entire island of Manhattan. I think it's only part of Manhattan that has electricity. And, you know, Obama's goes has a press conference, and he's telling everyone, you know, he's going to do everything possible. You know, FEMA's on the scene. The feds are going to do everything they can. And there he is giving out .gov website addresses and 800 numbers.
Oh, yeah, if you need help or if you have any questions, you're going to call this 800 number and you're going to get on this website. Well, first of all, half these people don't have power. So how are they going to get on some website? And really, are you going to call it, Tim, your power's out and you need food and water, you're going to call this 800 number? In some of these areas, FEMA hasn't even showed up yet. In Jersey and New York, I mean, it's an absolute disaster. And this is why government fails every time. And this is why the states need to step up. People within the state need to step up, the state government and the people, faith-based groups and charities. These are the people you have to rely on to get this done, because if you rely on the federal government and if you're relying on FEMA, and all these a lot of these people are, they're waiting, well, where's FEMA? They're not helping us. Well, this is why centralized planning and bureaucracy never works. But yeah, no power, no food. It's a total mess. In New York City, they have some of the subways up and running, but not all of them. And they're running big, huge generators in Central Park to make sure that they have the media is able to fire up for the New York City Marathon. Because there's still, Mayor Bloomberg said it's still going to go on. So they're going to have the marathon this weekend. You have people suffering, but they're still going to have the marathon, and we got to make sure the media is covering it, even though nobody in New York or half the people don't have power. It's just, it really is utter incompetence. And if you're a bystander, if you stood back and just looked at how this country is being run and how things unfold on a daily basis, it's just sheer and utter incompetence from the federal level all the way down, even in New York with the mayor. I mean, it's unbelievable. Oh, and now you have the environmentalists saying that in New Jersey, hey, listen, there's no need to rebuild anything there. You know, we don't, because a lot of the sand dunes are gone. I mean, areas where there were roads, it's sand. It's just a mess. And they're saying, well, don't rebuild. Just let it, nature kind of take its course. Don't, I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, by the way, where are all you liberals out there complaining about Obama and the speediness to which he's reacting to all this? There's still people in New York and New Jersey. They need food and drinking water, and their power's still out. A lot of black people. And how come Obama, I thought he was going to lower the sea levels. I thought he was going to provide for the common good. He was going to usher in this utopian panacea. Why do we have all these minorities without power in the Northeast? And the reason I say this is because Bush was crucified in 2005 when Katrina hit New Orleans, was he not? And we were told how he steered the hurricane into New Orleans to take out the city and just eliminate the minority population there. And I'm not surprised by it. This is par for the course. But I just want to point out the absurdity of it all. The same scenario unfolding, a natural disaster in an area where, and it's clear in both cases under Bush and Obama, the federal government, the reaction time is not very fast. You know, FEMA, this is how this goes. You're waiting for the National Guard and FEMA to come in. How about just pulling up your bootstraps as a community and try to do all that you can? And this business about not letting non-union relief crews into New Jersey to get the electricity back on is absolutely is criminal. And where is Governor Christie jumping on these unions? He was so quick to criticize the teachers' unions, which he should have been. But I mean, where is he on criticizing the electrical companies? And by the way, I mentioned this about the environmentalists, you know, pontificating over rebuilding the shoreline. And here it is from myfoxdc.com. Some environmentalists say New Jersey should consider not rebuilding everything lost to Superstorm Sandy. U.S. Geological Survey scientist Jeffress Williams says that rising sea levels and changing weather patterns, here you go,
make it likely that the coast will be hit by more frequent and destructive storms. So, hey, global warming, you know, we're going to have more storms. Just don't even bother rebuilding. Just let the people live on the beach. They can maybe be, you know, just make sand huts. He and other shoreline advocates say officials should consider restricting development to reduce the harm storms can do. So maybe just set up some teepees, and that way minimal damage next time another storm comes through. They suggest relocating homes and businesses farther from the ocean, building more seawalls and keeping sand dunes high. You see, because all those rich one percenters in New Jersey, they built those houses right up next to the shoreline. You know, they have their helipads on top of the houses. We can't have that. We got to, you know, you're going to have to, this is a natural shoreline. We need to let nature have a an area here. We can't have you building right on the beach. Governor Christie says the shore is too important not to rebuild, but he leaves the decision whether to build again to individual property owners, which he should. Which he clearly should. Now, so Obama was there. He was in New Jersey. There was a flyover, and they actually had on the beach, somebody had written in the sand huge letters, Romney. while he was doing his flyover. I saw that on Michelle Malkin's website, twitchy.com. But, you know, people are, this is disastrous. And you have people stranded on the, you know, the New Jersey Turnpike and the Garden State Parkway. You know, people are waiting, and it's like 1979 all over again. People waiting hours for gas. The lines are just like backed up for a mile. And I got to think this is going to have some effect on the election. You're going to have people that are pissed off and blame it on Obama, even if it's not entirely his fault. But this is, hey, listen, Bush got blamed in 2005. Well, it's going to happen again with this. You know, if you're the commander in chief and you have all these problems, it reflects poorly on you. So, you know, if you're a undecided voter, I don't see how this really helps Obama's case at all. They're going batty out there, by the way. Halloween, I go out after the trick or treaters have left. It's probably 10:30. I go out, and the Romney sign in the front yard has been like ripped out of the ground, bent in half. The Nancy Bostick sign next to it is untouched, but the Romney sign looks like somebody stood in the middle of it and pulled both sides up, and it's just bent up like a pretzel. So now, I don't know if maybe it was a disgruntled parent or one of the kids, but this is all they have left now, is vandalism, because they know the outcome that's headed their way. It's not good. And again, all these polls, you know, that have Romney up by, you know, 2-3 percentage points, some of them, like I said, Rasmussen has them tied today. I don't think it's going to be that close. I think it's going to be disastrous for Obama. You know, I drive all over Pinellas County here, and St. Pete is heavy Democrat, so there's a lot of Obama signs, but I don't see any of his signs anywhere else. And I see all the Republican, not just Mitt Romney, but all the candidates who are running for local office that are Republicans, I see hardly any Democrat. I think a lot of people are going to be surprised. It's not going to be as close as everyone thinks. And of course, all throughout the media, even on Fox News, they're saying, oh, this is the closest, tightest election we've had in decades. It's going to be very close, right down to the wire. I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think the enthusiasm gap is huge. If you're a Democrat voter, what is there to be enthusiastic about? I mean, the new unemployment numbers are out. You've got unemployment ticked back up to 7.9%. Of course, you know, he's under 8%, but what does that really mean in the end? There's nothing. The Democrat base is not jazzed. The media is going to make it sound like Obama's got all this support and that their base is jazzed. They're not. The support is not there. He was getting huge crowds back in 2008. I mean, tens of thousands of people showing up to his rallies. I mean, remember the huge speech in Grant Park? Now he can't even get, I mean, a quarter of that. People are just not showing. I mean, he's proven himself to be just some other run-of-the-mill politician. He's spoken all these, just this soaring rhetoric and grandiose declarations back in 2008. And listen, our gas is, you know, still over $3 a gallon. It was $1.80 when he took office. And even though it's come down here as we've gotten closer to the election, it's still high. People are still suffering. He hasn't ushered in any panacea or utopia. Kids are still having to pay their student loans off. You know, they're still having to put gas in their tank. So why should any Democrat or liberal be jazzed about voting? And especially the youth vote, which he carried big in 2008. The support's not there. He of course, the hard left, he's going to get out there. But a lot of those apolitical kids that went out and voted, who maybe voted for the first time, they're not going to support him again this time. I doubt they'll even go out and vote. I have a family member. He's a lot younger than I am. He's probably 22, 23, big Obama supporter, voted for him in 2008, big liberal. He's not voting this time. He's just going to sit it out. So, which essentially is a vote for Obama, but... And, you know, we were told how, with regard to Israel, how this such, you know, we're told by everyone in the administration and the media how the relationship between Israel and the United States just solid. Never, the communication lines are open. I mean, it's just, we have never seen just the amount of camaraderie between these two countries, Obama and his people and Bibi Netanyahu. Well, then how come an overwhelming majority of Israelis support Mitt Romney? If Mitt Romney was running for president against Barack Obama in Israel, the former Massachusetts governor would win in a landslide. This is from a CBS website. A new poll released by the Times of Israel on Thursday showed that 45% of Israelis would vote for Romney, compared to 29% for the president. The poll conducted by Smith Consulting for Israel Radio interviewed 400 Israeli adults. I just find that fascinating. I mean, if they thought he was doing such a great job and that the ties between Israel and the United States were so strong, 45 to 29%, that's pretty big. And it's a small sample. But still, the support's not there. The support is not there here in the United States. And, you know, the only place he probably has support is in the Middle East. And in Europe, because frankly, when you go around apologizing, you go around the world apologizing for the United States and telling everybody how rotten we are, of course Europe's going to love us. Yeah, the French and the Spanish. But it is crunch time now. We're just days away from the election. And in all seriousness, this truly is going to be the biggest election in our lifetimes. It's truly, the choice could not be any clearer. And for those of you who are still undecided, I can't see how any of you could be undecided. It's apples and oranges here. It's two totally different individuals. A big government, progressive, you know, Saul Alinsky, community organizer, who has no experience in the private sector, doesn't have a clue as to what he's doing, a bureaucrat, a law school professor who has a disdain for the country, for our founding documents, for our laws, or you have somebody that knows a thing or two about job creation, he knows a thing or two about running anything, compared to Obama, who only runs things into the ground. You have somebody that has private sector experience. He's run companies. He's created jobs. He's hired people. He's saved businesses, created businesses. There's no contest here. None. We're going to take a quick timeout, and we'll be back momentarily.
In 2008, I voted for President Obama with No reluctance.
He presented himself as something different.
I had hoped that the new president would bring new jobs, not major layoffs, not people going through major foreclosures on their homes.
He did get his health care through, but at what cost?
He said he was going to cut the deficit in his first term. I've seen zero interest in reducing spending. He inherited a bad situation, but he made it worse.
I think he's a great person. I don't feel he is the right leader for our country, though.
I still believe in hope and change. I just don't think Obama's the way to go for that.
The president has not earned re-election in 2012, in my book.
I've seen his now definition of hope and change. It's not the hope and change I want. It's not the hope and change I thought I was going to get. I don't feel that I helped my grandchildren by voting for President Obama, and I regret that.
Americans for Prosperity is responsible for the content of this advertising.
How many jobs did Barack Obama create as a community organizer, as a law professor? Maybe now you see the problem. Mitt Romney turned around dozens of American companies and helped create thousands of jobs. He rescued an Olympics hit by scandal, took over a state facing huge deficits, and he turned it around without raising taxes, vetoing hundreds of bills. And Mitt has a detailed plan to turn around America's economy. Mitt Romney. Restore Our Future, Inc. is responsible for the content of this message.
So it's Armageddon out there. Apocalypse. The world is ending. No, not really. It's just we're nearing the end of Obama's reign. And, you know, we have cops pulling guns. We have civilians pulling guns in New Jersey. I see here on Drudge, gas shortages may not end anytime soon. CNBC.com, power outages at hundreds of gas stations and a distribution bottleneck due to flooding damage and power loss has caused a gasoline shortage in the New York metropolitan area that may not be cleared up for at least a week, according to industry experts. What was a problem for drivers when Superstorm Sandy ended two days ago has become a nightmare for frazzled motorists who find themselves in gas lines that can stretch on for hours. Some lines were hundreds of cars long in sections of New Jersey and New York Thursday, and in a number of locations, police monitored the lines, which interfered with traffic flow in some areas. Is this not 1979 all over again, Jimmy Carter? The problem is not gasoline supplies, but the ability to distribute it, especially from the critical terminal area around Linden, New Jersey, which lost power and was hit by storm surge. An estimated 75% or more of the gas stations in New Jersey were closed, either because they had no gasoline, no power, or both, said Saul Risolvato, executive director of the New Jersey Gasoline Convenience Automotive Association. His organization represents about 1,000 gas stations in New Jersey. So this is a mess. And, you know, I wasn't alive in 1979, so I don't remember what it was like, but I've heard that it was just, it sucked. And I can only imagine. And listen, I feel for these people. I mean, it's frustrating. Especially when you get hit by a Cat 1 and there's this much devastation. I mean, it really is unfortunate. And, you know, again, you know, my thoughts and prayers. It's terrible to have to intersperse politics with all this unfortunately, with November 6th right around the corner, it's almost inevitable. But, you know, people's lives are affected. And you know, how much does this president truly care? I mean, we've seen, you know, I talked about this last Friday about how he acted and how he continues to act with regard to Benghazi, Libya, where we had slain Americans. Well, there's been dozens of people killed as a result of this storm. And I just don't see a humble human being in Barack Obama. I don't see somebody who truly cares. You look in his eyes and it's just almost as if it's almost like he doesn't really want to win this election. He's kind of sick of being president. He doesn't care about the storm, all the people that have been devastated. He doesn't know how to deal with disasters. We saw the same thing back with the oil spill, the BP oil spill, and the time it took for a response from them. I mean, the statements that came out of his mouth
and just the lackadaisical approach to governing from this president when there's a true crisis on hand. He's great at regulating the hell out of us and you know, making sure that new bureaucracies are created and new federal agencies and new, you know, thousands of pages of new regulations. But when true crises pop up, it's almost as if he's really inept, utterly and completely inept. And, you know, it's time we had somebody who can truly lead. Barack Obama is not a leader. I hate to tell you this. I know a lot of you thought that, you know, hey, this guy's going to be, he's going to transcend politics. He's the, you know, he's going to heal the nation. He's going to make us more respected in the world. He's done none of it. He's not a leader. He's somebody that is a glorified community organizer, and he did real well as a young man, getting in front of a bunch of other Marxists at Harvard, and, you know, speaking and preaching to the choir. He does real good with that. But as far as being commander-in-chief, he's an utter disaster. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this, Tim. I mean, this is concerning. By the way, for those of you who are voting on the 6th, or you're early voting, whatever, and you're going in, you're using the electronic ballot, make sure that after you vote, you're going down and checking to see, make sure you review your ballot before you submit it. Because in multiple swing states now, we're having issues where people are voting for Romney and the vote's getting changed to Obama. It's happened in a number, Ohio, it's happened in Kansas, which really isn't a swing state. It's happened in Nevada. I mean, really? I mean, there's a Blaze.com story. Last week, The Blaze brought you a story from a North Carolina voting precinct using electronic voting machines that was already experiencing issues where votes for GOP candidate Mitt Romney were being changed to Democratic candidate Barack Obama. Now it's allegedly happening again, this time in both Kansas and Ohio. And that's what's really frustrating. And you know, fraud happens in these elections. It's going to happen. It always does. And it's always such a, it happens in such small pockets that it's not enough to really turn the election one way or the other. But it's frustrating to have to deal with it. And you know, by the way, when Romney does win this, and he wins it big, the lawsuits are already being formulated. They're already written. They're already printed up and ready to go on Obama's side. So you can bet on that. They're going to be, I suspect it's going to be very similar to the year 2000, if not worse, with regard to lawsuits and this thing going to court, and especially in these swing states. I think it's just going to be an absolute nightmare. And I'm worried. I'm really worried about that, because I think it's even if Romney wins, I think that's going to do a lot to damage the country. It's going to really hurt, do damage to the fabric of the country, quite honestly. But again, more of this storm devastation. ABC News. The residents of Staten Island are pleading for help from elected officials, begging for gasoline, food, and clothing 3 days after Sandy slammed the New York City borough. Now keep in mind, they got big generators running in New York City to power up the media to make sure they're there to cover the New York City Marathon, which is still going to go on. Quote, "We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We got 90-year-old people," Donna Solly told visiting officials. "You don't understand. You got to get your trucks down here on the corner now. It's been 3 days." Staten Island was one of the hardest-hit communities in New York City. More than 80,000 residents are still without power. Many are homeless, and at least 19 people died on Staten Island because of the storm. One of the devastated neighborhoods was overwhelmed by a violent surge of water. Residents described a supersized wave as high as 20 feet, with water rushing into the streets like rapids. Staten Island resident Mike Abruzio's family is completely gone, with only his floorboards remaining. His home wiped out. He, his wife, and their two young daughters have been staying with relatives. And this is... And, you know, your heart goes out to these people. And this is the response. This is how our government works. I mean, this is how they're responding in New York. It's been 3 days, and they still can't get everything cleaned up. The Red Cross and the National Guard arrived in the area late Tuesday and are distributing food, water, and gas, and city officials say things are much better. But, yeah, I mean, this is not good enough in a country where supposedly, I mean, we're supposed to be taking care of these people, and they're not getting the aid that they need. And it's truly unfortunate. For 48 hours after the storm, search teams were hunting for two Staten Island brothers, just 2 and 4 years old, swept out of their mother's arms when waves caused by storm surges crashed into the family's SUV. Their small bodies were found today at the end of a dead-end street. Their parents were at the scene where the bodies were discovered. Staten Island officials sounded increasingly desperate today, asking when supplies will arrive. They blasted the Red Cross for not being there when it counted. This is America, not a third world nation. We need food. We need clothing. Staten Island Borough President Jim Molinaro said Tuesday, "My advice to the people of Staten Island is don't donate to the American Red Cross. Put their money elsewhere. Where should they put their money? Give it to Obama?" And the Red Cross does a lot of good things, and I know they're working feverishly, but you know, why not criticize Obama? Why not criticize your state officials? Criticize your mayor. Criticize the governor of your state, Andrew Cuomo. The American Red Cross is not the enemy here. You know, if you think, you know, the Red Cross is doing all they can. But at the end of the day, again, they're trying to help people, and you're going to criticize New York State, or you're going to criticize the American Red Cross. You're not going to criticize your elected officials. So tension's bubbling over here, but it's going to be interesting to see how all this pans out, and if it's going to affect Obama come Tuesday. We're going to take a time out. We'll be back momentarily.
America's jobless rate just went up again. But after a record 40 straight months of unemployment over 8%, President Obama insists
the private sector is doing fine.
23 million Americans can't find full-time jobs. 30% have been out of work for over a year. And under Obama, nearly 800,000 more women are unemployed.
The private sector is doing fine. Private sector is doing fine.
Restore Our Future is responsible for the content of this message.
The worst economic recovery America has ever had.
Unemployment is still not
the economy is growing even more slowly than before.
You know the phrase they always use?
Obama and Biden want to raise taxes by $8 trillion. Guess what?
Guess what?
Yes, we do.
My view is that we ought to provide tax relief to people in the middle class. Under the president's policies, middle-income Americans have been buried.
We're going to do everything in our power to keep America strong in our homes, in our economy, in our military, second to none. This nation has a mission to perform. We're going to make it happen. We're going to keep America the shining city on a hill. You're going to help us win the White House in November. Let's get it done.
If you're looking for commercial janitorial services or grounds maintenance in the Tampa Bay area, call the experts at Clover, 888-886-8233. That's 888-886-8233. Call today for more information and tell them you heard this ad on the Beyond Radio Network.
Bloomberg is diverting food generators from devastated Staten Island to New York City Marathon. Fresh off his climate disruption-driven endorsement of President Obama, New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has chosen to divert critical food supplies and power generators from desperate residents of Staten Island to Sunday's New York City Marathon. The Gothamist reports those urging the city to halt the run believe that the thousands of marathon volunteers could direct their efforts towards post-Sandy relief and cleanup. And they also argue that the event will divert thousands of police from important hurricane-related duties, duh. But despite petitions circulating, work started up again yesterday on the marathon route. A tipster who wishes to remain anonymous told us where there were lots of workers in and out of the park today who had started before the storm and then came back starting yesterday. Trailers are lined up from around 71st to 66th streets on Central Park West. A food truck was set up today, and generators have been sitting there at least a week. The tents that were taken down prior to the storm have also been set back up, and there's a stage set up near 73rd Street. So they got the tents, they got food, generators, everything. They're making sure the marathon runners are all right. But what about the people in Staten Island? And they got police on scene. They need rescue personnel in Staten Island. And Tim made a good point during the break. You know, they're criticizing the Red Cross, but, you know, in order for the Red Cross to get to people, they kind of need emergency personnel like FEMA and like state officials, you know, state first responders, clearing the roadways so they can get to people. The Red Cross can only do so much. The story continues. Considering all the volunteer help and NYPD attention that's already being diverted to the marathon, the added sight of generators and food being channeled to the event is probably going to strike some New Yorkers as a little misplaced. We're thinking of the ones who are currently lined up waiting for the National Guard to ration out MREs and bottles of water. Staten Island residents are frantically calling for help. ABC News reported on Thursday, residents of Staten Island are pleading for help from elected officials, begging for gasoline, food, and clothes. 3 days after the Sandy slammed the New York City borough, this is from the ABC story I brought up. Staten Island President Jim Molinaro, all pissed off, blasting Bloomberg, blasting the Red Cross. Now, I think he should be blasting Bloomberg, but his beef with the Red Cross, I think, is unwarranted. In New York City, apparently these days, the Bloomberg show must go on, even at the expense of those truly in need. So this is just sheer government incompetence on parade. People that, you know, people are frustrated, people are tired, hungry, they need water, and you've got the mayor carrying on as if this, the storm and kind of the aftermath and the recovery, it's no big thing. We got other stuff going on. We got the marathon. I mean, this is a huge disaster. The marathon should have been canceled. Indefinitely. The hell with the marathon. You got people that need help. People that need to be taken care of, and nobody cares about this marathon. And certainly, we don't need media coverage of it. Half the people in New York don't have electricity. They don't have any TVs to watch the marathon on. And again, this is from Breitbart. Mile-long lines, rationing, fights, police drawing guns. On Twitter, there are widespread reports about fist fights and people bringing guns to gas stations, thanks to gas shortages in New York and New Jersey. Some on Twitter are reporting that law enforcement has been stationed around many gas stations to prevent incidents. Here's one of the tweets. Apparently, there's officials with weapons at some of these gas stations because the lines are getting crazy. New Jersey's a war zone. They're rationing gas. Cops have to be at the stations because people are pulling guns on each other. And it shows the long lines. Just all gas stations look like this today. Can't even see the station. Gas alert. Hess Station on 145th Street. Line is 5 blocks long. And you have people drawing guns on each other because they can't get gasoline. This is sad. It really is. You got people waiting in line, I see here, with just holding gas cans. Huge lines. Not only car lines, but people just waiting to get any gas into their gas cans. This is a disaster. Absolutely a disaster. And again, you know, you can't blame everything on Obama, but at the same time, this is just a poor reflection. I mean, when this stuff happened in 2005, it reflected poorly on Bush. Whether or not you thought it was, how much of it, to what degree or another, was actually his fault, it doesn't matter. It's the perception. And the perception is that it makes the president look bad, and this makes Obama look bad. And there's no amount of covering up by the media that's going to change that. I mean, they're just it's not going to happen. Oh, this is interesting. This is another piece here. Las Vegas Review Journal destroys Obama. In one of the most blistering denunciations of Barack Obama ever penned, the Las Vegas Review Journal published an editorial today that excoriated Obama not only for his ineptitude in the Benghazi attack, but also his duplicity afterward and the cooperation of a supine press. The Obama administration sat by doing nothing for 7 hours that night. This is coming from the Las Vegas Review Journal, not the Weekly Standard. Ignoring calls to dispatch help from our bases in Italy less than 2 hours away. It has spent the past 7 weeks stretching the story out, engaging in misdirection and deception involving supposed indigenous outrage over an obscure anti-Muslim video, confident that with the aid of a docile press corps, this infamous climax to 4 years of misguided foreign policy can be swept under the rug, at least until after Tuesday's election. The official explanation for why Obama administration officials watched the attack unfold for 7 hours, refusing repeated requests to send the air support and relief forces that sat less than 2 hours away in Italy. Silence. The Review Journal also charged Obama with impotence as he flew off to Las Vegas instead of dealing with the attack. Prompt and strong action from the White House on September 11th might have saved American lives, as well as America's reputation as a nation not to be messed with. Weakness and dithering and flying to Las Vegas the next day for celebrity fundraising parties are somehow better. The Review Journal pulled no punches about the Obama administration's efforts to destroy our economy and accused Obama of continually flat-out lying to the American people. This administration is an embarrassment on foreign policy and incompetent at best on the economy. Though a more careful analysis shows what can only be a perverse and willful attempt to destroy our prosperity. This is unbelievable. This isn't coming from a conservative news outlet. And this is a scathing piece out of the Las Vegas Review Journal here. Back in January 2008, Barack Obama told the editorial board of the San Francisco Chronicle that under his cap-and-trade plan, if somebody wants to build a coal-fired power plant, they can. It's just that it will bankrupt them. He added, quote, under my plan, electricity rates would necessarily skyrocket, unquote. It was also in 2008 that Mr. Obama's future Energy Secretary Stephen Chu famously said it would be necessary to figure out how to boost the price of gasoline to the levels in Europe, a.k.a. $9 a gallon. Yet the president now claims he's in favor of oil development and pipelines, taking credit for increased oil production on private lands where he's powerless to block it, after he halted the Keystone XL pipeline and oversaw a 50% reduction in oil leases on public lands. These behaviors go far beyond spin. They amount to a pack of lies. The RJ concluded, to return to office, a narcissistic amateur who seeks to ride this nation's economy and international esteem to oblivion, like Slim Pickens riding the nuclear bomb to its target at the end of the movie Dr. Strangelove, would be disastrous. Candidate Obama said if he could not fix the economy in 4 years, his would be a one-term presidency. Mitt Romney is moral, capable, and a responsible man. Just this once, it's time to hold Barack Obama to his word. Maybe we can all do something about that come Tuesday. Now, this is what I like to see. This is actually objective and telling the truth and not covering up for Obama like all these other news sources. And, you know, so much for not leaving anybody behind. You know, he's always out saying that. He said that during his press conference the other day with regard to the storm, that, hey, we're not going to leave anybody behind. Yet they are leaving people behind. Isn't that? I mean, you got people who are struggling. They got no food, water, gasoline, no power. And Mr. President, you left people behind in Benghazi, Libya. And now these other reports are coming out. All these top aides, former people who worked in the intelligence community, and what, saying that, you know, the Marines were told to stand down. You had Ty Williams, who was told to stand down. He eventually disregarded that. But, you know, Newt Gingrich is coming out and talking about this, along with all these former government officials who
who would know about this stuff, saying that that could have only, that order could have only come from the president. So Obama told those people to stand down. And so if that's not leaving people behind and leaving people to die, I don't know what is. And I saw Geraldo Rivera almost have a aneurysm this morning on Fox and Friends, arguing with Eric Bolling and Gretchen Wilson and Steve Ducey were on the panel. And, you know, he's out there claiming that you can't blame this on, you know, because Bolling was essentially saying Obama has blood on his hands, which he does. And he has a lot to answer for. And Geraldo trying to defend him that, well, you know, you can't put this all on the president. Well, yes, yeah, you can. They knew what was going on. The intelligence was there. They, you know, and there were repeated requests for security backup, not just there. They were calling for help when it was happening, but they were calling for help weeks in advance. They knew this attack was coming. They knew it was going to be a huge problem and that they were in danger. And this president and the State Department and this whole government failed those people. Obama, quote unquote, left them behind. And so I don't think he has any business going out there and telling anybody that, you know, we don't leave anybody behind. You know, he's got his little commander-in-chief jacket on at the press conference. He's not acted like a commander-in-chief. They knew what was going on. They were watching all this unfold in the Situation Room. They could have had Marines in there within the hour from Sicily. They could have had, they could have stopped the, staunched the bleeding at least. And this president did nothing. They watched from the Situation Room. And people on the ground there were told to stand down. Stand down and let the militants have their way. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. We're going to take a timeout here and we'll be back in just a second. Don't worry.
Welcome to the new normal, where over 8% unemployment is doing fine, and millions of Americans have simply given up, where our children will grow up under the weight of crushing debt in a world where America is no longer the leader, and we're told we're going forward, even as we fall further behind. This is the new normal. This is President Obama's economy. Demand better. Restore Our Future is responsible for the content of this message.
If you want to be president, you owe the American people the truth. The truth.
Now with a fact check of the debate.
This claim is based on a fiscal fiction.
The bipartisan nonprofit committee for a responsible federal budget has called that a gimmick. And the president is also counting on savings agreed to last year when the White House and Congress agreed to raise the debt ceiling.
Governor Romney's central economic plan calls for a $5 trillion tax cut.
I rate that mostly fiction.
Mostly fiction.
Tonight, President Obama said that his plan would cut the deficit by $4 trillion. That estimate comes from the left-leaning Center on Budget and Policy Priorities.
Social Security is structurally sound. It's going to have to be tweaked.
But according to the Congressional Budget Office, Social Security will run into financial trouble by the year 2030. The amount Social Security pays out will exceed the tax revenue coming in.
President Obama accused Mitt Romney of proposing a $5 trillion tax cut and thus adding to the deficit. But the nonpartisan website factcheck.org says that is not true. Another questionable statement, Obama again said he'd raise taxes on upper income people only to the rates they were when Bill Clinton was president. But actually, many high income people would pay more than they did then.
The president falsely claimed fiscal fiction.
True, mostly fiction.
Another questionable statement.
President, you owe the American people the truth.
Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill is the most exciting place to watch football and hockey games this season. Ferg's is more than great food and ice-cold drinks. It's an iconic symbol of professional sports and good times in the city of St. Pete. For the 2011 season, we've remodeled. Come check out our new look and cheer on your team in our bigger outside party deck. If you haven't been to Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, you don't know what you've been missing. Come party at Ferg's for the real stadium experience.
I said before, the new job numbers are out, and you know, things are stagnant, things are at a standstill. This is foxnews.com. The final monthly jobs report before election day offered a mixed bag of economic evidence that would surely become political putty for the presidential candidates, with the unemployment rate ticking up to 7.9%, but the economy adding a better than expected 171,000 jobs.
At the same time, the number of unemployed grew by 170,000, roughly the same amount, to 12.3 million. So it's a wash. The October numbers allow President Obama to argue the economy is technically growing under his watch. But they also allow Mitt Romney to argue that the new jobs are not making much of a dent in the unemployment problem. Both campaigns quickly set to work putting their spin on data that, if nothing else, underscores the slow pace of the recovery. Now, Obama, yeah, sure, go ahead and argue that, you know, you've added jobs, but we're hemorrhaging jobs as well. So it's a wash, Mr. President. And the unemployment ticking up, even if it's a tenth of a percent, it's still going up, not going down. If this were truly a genuine recovery, as you say we've been in since 2009, even though they've kind of dropped that narrative and readopted it, dropped it, if a recovery had occurred in 2009, in the summer, at this point we should be down to 5% unemployment, which for all intents and purposes is full employment. The jobs aren't there. And if I were Romney, and I don't know what he's come out and said today, but here it is. Here's the state. Today's increase in the unemployment rate is a sad reminder that the economy is at a virtual standstill, Romney said in a statement. The jobless rate is higher than it was when President Obama took office, and there are still 23 million Americans struggling for work. When I'm president, I'm going to make real changes that lead to a real recovery so that the next 4 years are better than the last. Former Bureau of Labor Statistics Chief Keith Hall told Fox Business Network that at this rate, we're still talking 9 or 10 years before the economy gets back to normal. That's unacceptable. In order to have a robust economy, we need a recovery now. 9 to 10 years is not going to cut it, plain and simple. Alan B. Kruger, chairman of the White House Council of Economic Advisers, said today's employment report provides further evidence that the U.S. economy is continuing to heal from the wounds inflicted by the worst downturn since the Great Depression. These people, make no mistake, they live in a bubble. They don't look at the real world. They don't live in the real world. They don't want to look into the real world because that would destroy the little narrative that they're trying to set here. And the reality is that the numbers are very misrepresentative. A lot of these jobs that people have acquired that they've gotten are part-time jobs. They're fudging up and ginning these numbers to make it look like these are all full employment. These people are full 40 hours a week. That's not true. A lot of this is part-time. They've done this for year after year. They used seasonal adjustments. They've looked at seasonal workers and added that to the employment list. I mean, the fact of the matter is that real unemployment, 7.9% is probably a conservative number. It's probably up over, I know it's up over 10%. And it always is, historically. During the Great Depression in the 1930s and 40s, unemployment was much higher than what was actually being reported by the BLS. You've had people that have left the workforce, people who are no longer looking. And if you're the president, why should you be reelected? In any other economy, in any other recovery, we'd be at 5% unemployment. It would definitely be under 6. And we're not there. We're at 7.9%. And for most of your term, we've been over, at one point we were up at 10%. For most of your term, we were over 8%. And it has nothing to do with George W. Bush. It has nothing to do with capitalism or free markets. It has everything to do with the policies and the bureaucracy and the legislation that the Democrats and Obama have forced down our throats. And by the way, it's not going to get, if he gets reelected, say hello to Obamacare taxes next year. Say hello to higher premiums, which a lot of people have already said hello to higher premiums. Or say goodbye to being dropped from your coverage. Say hello to less healthcare choices, Because as this new law, as it is getting enforced here in 2014 and beyond, healthcare in this country is going to be a wreck. You know, it's going to be exactly like Canada and the United Kingdom, long lines, you know, people not getting the procedures that they need, not getting the help that they need. That's what we have in store. And not only that, but this Obamacare law is going to fundamentally change the relationship between government and the individual. And Obama talks about fundamental transformation of the country, and he's take him at his word. That's the one thing you can trust him on. He is going to continue fundamental transformation. And this healthcare bill is going to cause never before seen problems in this country. And now that the Supreme Court has ruled that this legislation is in fact constitutional, that opens up a Pandora's box. And I've said this before, but it needs to be said again. It needs to be rammed home time and time again until people understand this. Obamacare does not represent better health care, better service from your doctors, lowered premiums. It represents an infringement upon individual sovereignty. If the federal government can force you as a citizen to buy a good or a service, in this case, health insurance, then there is no good or service that the federal government can't tell you that you should buy. In other words, if they can tell you to buy health insurance, they can tell you to buy anything or any service. And that's the troubling aspect of this, with the Supreme Court ruling the way that it did. So, and I think a lot of people Obamacare has been kind of pushed to the back burner during these elections, but what's coming down the pike is not good. What's coming down the pike is rationing of care. What's coming down the pike are death panels. And again, it's not going to be next year or the year after, but within the next 5 to 10 years, this law is going to fundamentally destroy the U.S. healthcare system, especially with regard to the private system. And it's time that, you know, if you're still undecided, I got to drive this point home because this is our last broadcast before the election. If you're still undecided, ask yourself this question. And I'm not, are you better off? I'm not talking about that. Do you really want to live in a country where your individual sovereignty is weakened? Do you want to live in a country where you are free, or do you want to live in a country where more regulation, more red tape, more bureaucracy is the law of the land? More regulation is handed down by this president. It's not the way we need to go. We need to take a turn back the other way. We need to get off this road that we're on, the road towards Europe, the road towards big bloated government, welfare state, social Western European democracy. We need to turn away from that and head back down a road towards the Constitution and towards a free republic. And the choice is clear, and it's Mitt Romney. And so use common sense this Tuesday. Really, if you're undecided, and I don't know how you could be at this point, Obama is no friend of freedom, plain and simple. So, again, Tuesday, it's your choice, America, which way you want to go, more tyranny or more freedom. It's up to you.